You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
TGIF, everybody. Happy Friday. It's Sports Daily. It's Albrock and Caster. We are glad to be with you here on the show today. We've got a lot of cool things happening on the show today. Our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, will join us as we get you ready for the weekend series here against the Cardinals, one of the hottest teams in baseball. The Royals, no time to think about much. They got to get right back in there, but they do come home for that. We've got a chance to win tickets to a weekend Wind Surge game. We've got a couple of pairs of tickets to go to two different concerts that we'll give away today. We'll give away some HTO as well. So we've got those things going on. All kinds of fun topics out there today. The trade that almost was or wasn't for the Royals involving a likely future Hall of Famer. We'll get into that a little bit. And we will, you know, continue to look a little bit at the Chiefs and their schedule and what we're thinking about that. And we've got a PGA championship happening in the NBA playoffs, a game 7 for the Thunder. It's a busy day. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. You mentioned the PGA championship, one of the great all-time golf names currently at the top of the leaderboard, my buddy Johnny Vegas, leading the PGA Championship, Jonathan Vegas, but I know folks call him Johnny Vegas on tour, leads the tournament right now.
Mortal Kombat character.
Isn't that great? Like, you can't like make up a name better than Johnny Vegas.
There's a pitcher for the White Sox right now with the last name of Cannon, which is pretty perfect. We got to appreciate those when they happen. And yeah, Johnny Vegas is pretty. That's pretty awesome.
On the flip side of that, there's a pitcher for my Braves. His last name is Blewett. And so that, you know, that's kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, which is really.
Is he a reliever?
Yeah, he actually is a reliever. He's in the bullpen.
Yeah, that
Scott Blewett. And that's unfortunate. Unfortunate last name for him.
Yeah, no, his parents blew it by keeping that last name. We have those giveaways. We have all kinds of stuff. It's going to be a fun show. There's some other interesting headlines. You've got, you know, Caleb Williams and a book coming out. I saw this a couple of times that maybe he was trying to not go to the Bears. Can't blame him, quite frankly, like for the reasons that were listed there. But we might get into that. And then there's potentially here, Tommy, and we're trying to like navigate this, not delicately. It's not that it's delicate or anything, but man, another hurdle for Missouri lawmakers as they try to keep the Chiefs and the Royals, and the clock is ticking. The clock is really ticking on that. And the every day that goes by, the chances get better and better that the Chiefs and the Royals' best option is going to be coming to the state of Kansas. So we'll have that. Another headline for you. We talked about this yesterday. Tyreek Hill says they should have left the video up. Yes, they should have. If you missed it, all the schedule release videos, and I did watch a few of those yesterday. I'm trying to make my way to them. There's some really, really good ones. But his was, I think it was the Colts, put a video of him in a dolphin with a Hill jersey on being detained by, I think, the Coast Guard that was taken down. Of course, the joke is that Tyreek Hill continues to get detained. He does. And Tyreek Hill, who is pretty good at making fun of himself, comes out and he was like, they shouldn't have taken it down. It was funny. And it was funny. And there's the NFL being overly sensitive. You can't get the reputation you've got now for these videos and then try to be sensitive if you're the league or whoever it is that's like, oh, no, we can't do that. Like, no, that's kind of what makes them cool. Is like you take the Chargers who are just ruthless in their videos. You got to just let them go. You got to let the creative juices shine. I think that's why people like them. But that was another headline I saw yesterday. We mentioned the PGA Championship. Our local guys are not in bad position. We've got Hadwin and Sam Stevens both under par. Or no, Hadwin one over. Hadwin's one over. Stevens is one under, I think. So they're not out of it by any means. We'll see what happens today. I thought, and you may have watched more of it than I did, which was nothing besides the leaderboard. It was a little strange to see the wide range of outcomes in a major like that. So I don't know if some of these guys we haven't really heard of. We've heard of Johnny Vegas, but Ryan Gerard, Alex Smalley, Tyrell Hatton. Like, there's a lot of names up there that you'd see in a tournament not a lot of big names are playing in. So I don't know if that's going to hold true or not, but there you go.
Yeah, so Sam Stevens is one under par through his first round. He's in a position, if he plays well today, to make the cut and play the weekend in a major, which is huge. Adam Hadwin has some work to do. He was two over par yesterday. He's already underway in his second round, and he's one over par for the round. Mm-hmm. So three over par total for the tournament, and the cut line right now is projected at one over. So Adam Hadwin does have some work to do if he wants to play the weekend. Same thing for Gary Woodland. He shot a 3 over 74 yesterday, so he's got some work to do in his second round, which will be this afternoon, if he wants to play the weekend as well. But Sam Stevens, our Wichita guy from here, is looking pretty solid with an opportunity to play the weekend in a major, which is great.
Plays at Crestview regularly, Sam Stevens. Shout out to Crestview Country Club. Great supporters of the program. Looked a lot like me out on the course, when Sam Stevens is out there. Birdie in a par 5 on the North Course yesterday.
Did you actually did that? Was that, did you?
No foot wedge. Right. No breakfast ball birdie on par 5. I followed it up with 2 double bogeys.
Okay.
But I did have the birdie, and I felt pretty damn good about it, to be honest. Shout out to Joey and some of the guys out at Crestview who let me play through as I was trying to race through and finish 9 before the rest of my day. But it is always fun to go out there and see listeners of the show, because I know there's a lot of them. Even when you're like literally out playing, and they're like, well, go play through so you can try to get 9 and you don't have to just play 6. I was like, that's cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks to all the guys that listen to us and gals. And thanks, Crestview Country Club, for being great supporters of the show. Cannot wait for the Wichita Open. Now just about 1 month away. We are right there. I can't wait for that. And Sam Stevens, he's not going to be there this year. I don't think he's going to be there this year, but because he's playing really, really well on tour. And we'll keep an eye on him throughout the weekend in the PGA Championship.
By the way, the other big headline that we haven't mentioned yet before we go to break, a big time Game 7 on tap on Sunday, Nuggets and Thunder. The Nuggets even the series 3 games apiece with their win last night against Oklahoma City. That's going to be a juggernaut matchup. Game 7, when you've got SGA taking on Nikola Jokic, and that's going to be a heavyweight bout right there for a Game 7 on Sunday.
I'm just going to look at that line. I've been curious. Yeah, the Thunder are pretty heavy favorites in that game, by the way. Yeah, 7.5-point favorites. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Corey says, what do we think of the Kansas City Chiefs schedule this year? We'll get into that a little bit, Corey. I'd say a deeper dive. Go to the Odyssey app and listen to yesterday's show. But we will get into a little bit more of it today. kind of give you our thoughts, been thinking more about the over-under win total and some of those kinds of things. So we'll have that for you as well. A big shout out to Prairie Fire Coffee. Each and every morning, they keep everybody in the entire Odyssey family just ready to go for the day, whether it's some of their awesome coffee, which I'm sure you've had around town at all the great events that they sponsor and do. And then there's tea, and there's all the things that they have. There's a big old, I call it a vat. There's always a vat of Prairie Fire Coffee right there in the Odyssey break room. And whenever I'm in studio, I drink about a gallon of it.
Is that the technical
term? I know everybody
term,
that's the, up there all the time does too.
Is that the I think it's a carafe. I think that's what the actual word is.
No,
it's
way too big to
it's
be a carafe.
It's a vat of coffee.
No, it's too big. It's a vat. Okay. It's a vat of coffee. We love Prairie Fire Coffee, and we're glad we have it each and every day at Odyssey. So thank you to them too for their support. All right. When we come back, let's talk about the latest with this stadium vote, what it might mean. We'll try to read between the lines a little bit. That's next. Don't go away. We're getting started on Sports Daily.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. We got a lot of things to give away today. Let's kick it off with some Wind Surge tickets. It is Asian Heritage Night, Asian and Pacific Islander Heritage Night. And the first 2,000 fans get a commemorative towel. We want to get you a pair of tickets. All you got to do to win is text the short code 20357. The keyword is towel, T-O-W-E-L, to 20357. Your chance to win a pair of tickets. If you get there early, a commemorative towel. It's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Night. Good luck, everybody. And get out to the ball. Get out to the ballpark. Equity Bank Park. Looking good. Signage out there looks really good for the Equity Bank Park rebrand this year. All right, Tommy, let's get into it. So basically the latest on stadium news for the Chiefs and Royals is there is no news on the Missouri side. They adjourned without passing anything. State senators there don't want to do any sort of deal without first finding tax relief for their taxpayers. Basically, they're doing their job. There is not much of a public appetite for this stuff right now. There just isn't. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. When you look across the board at what's happening to people's property taxes and the things going on in society right now, there ain't anybody voting for anything that has to do with a tax increase. Whether it's school bonds, at least around here, stadium things rarely pass because taxpayers are like, why am I paying for that? And logically, you're not wrong. Like, why are you paying for somebody else's stadium? They can make a bunch of money. I've said it forever. If there's going to be public dollars going into this, they should revenue share, right? If we fund 50% of your stadium, hey, give us 50% of your revenues. How about that? So that's what happened yesterday. Now, we'll remind you that in the state of Kansas, there are star bonds. Now, this is different. Star bonds are different. Missouri doesn't have this sort of mechanism. I think, you know, for a state like Kansas that has to try a little harder to get big industry to come in, the star bonds are a really interesting concept. Basically, they're a use tax. So they get paid through by use of whatever they're funding through an added sales tax. So for taxpayers, in theory, if it pays for itself and they project that it would, or they don't give them out, and they're not always right, by the way, but if they're right, it pays for itself through a use tax, through a sales tax. So it doesn't cost the taxpayer that money to build it, right? It's just we're going to basically front you the money and get our return through the tax revenue. And then the advantage for the state is this, like I tell people this all the time with the Chiefs and the Royals, and I'm not typically like these stadium things annoy me, but I would tell you for a state like Kansas, this becomes our greatest, tourism export in the state pretty easily, right? Like this, that, you know, especially the Chiefs, like that becomes as far as like, you know, not just tourism, but, you know, like, whatever, like your ability to do like entertainment exports or whatever, like this would become the one. We know there are potentially Super Bowl or Super Bowls tied to this. It could be a really big deal for the state of Kansas, and they have the mechanism through the star bonds where it's not really, we're not adding tax dollars to your taxes. Now, if it doesn't pay for itself, that gets a little interesting. We'll see on that. Some of them work, some of them don't. But I think they're a much less risky option than just saying, hey, taxpayers, we want to tax you. There's no appetite for that. I don't know how Missouri's going to do this, Tommy. They're going to have to cram it through without getting it to a vote. And even if they do, they're not going to get to the level of dollars that Kansas is offering.
Well, yeah. And I think that also the lawmakers in the state of Missouri, for the most part, they are, I think they're probably feeling it from the taxpayers, you know, to an extent where the taxpayers, by and large, through their votes, have shown that they don't really have much of an appetite on financing this. And, you know, everywhere, it's not just in Missouri. It's happening. These debates are happening here locally, too, and all over the place about how high taxes are and property taxes, especially, and, you know, how those things are just absolutely eating alive taxpayers. And so I think that a lot of these legislators are realizing that they're not going to be able to, or they don't necessarily have the appetite or want to be able to do something that is going to cause their constituents to pay more money. And because of that, I mean, that's what's really making this stall out big time. And it's, I think the bottom line is that even though Missouri wants to put something in play that could counteract what Kansas has from a star bonds perspective, I think the big sticking point for Missouri is that these lawmakers, a lot of them are saying, this is not a priority. It's not a priority for us right now because we have more pressing things to work on right now than trying to figure out a way to keep these teams in Kansas City. What I think is really interesting, by the way, is that for what Missouri is putting together, and maybe I'm misreading this, and I don't know if you've seen something different, but what Missouri was trying to pass wouldn't have built a new stadium for the Chiefs. It would have renovated Arrowhead Stadium, and it would have built a new stadium for the Royals. At least that's what I'm reading on one of the local TV.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, that's, you know, the Chiefs are good with that. Their initial proposal was that. I think they would be okay with that. I don't think it's the best option for them, though. You know, like, unless it, that renovation, do you recall, did that, they can't put a roof on it.
Yeah, I don't think they can.
So that's the other thing to think about, too. Like, if, and maybe that's enough for the Chiefs. Look, I think at the end of the day, the Chiefs and the Royals would like and prefer to stay in Missouri. It's where they've always been. I get it. But like, at some point, you have to make the right decision. If somebody is offering you this better deal, and as far as the renovation, if you can't put a roof on it, I don't think they're bringing a Super Bowl to Kansas City, Missouri in February when the Chiefs play playoff games in sub-zero temperatures. Like, that's, that only happens if you have a roof on that facility. And so, like, that's a big deal for the Chiefs, too. So if you can't get to the point where you're drawing in a Super Bowl now, again, that's just another check in the column of the Kansas side. I don't know what they're still, and I, the governor may call a special session. I'm sure these lawmakers are panicking and they don't want to be a part of the group that let the Chiefs go across the border. Again, I think this is far more about the Chiefs than it is the Royals. No offense to the Royals, but it just, it's NFL football and it's king right now. But I don't know what they can do. And, you know, you want to sort of applaud the lawmakers that are trying to do what they think the taxpayer would prefer them to do. There's study after study after study after study that shows, you know, just funding this through taxpayer dollars is never a worthwhile investment for the taxpayer, dollars and cents. Of course, there's more that goes into it than dollars and cents. I get that. But through a sales tax, at least you're taking a swing at actually the use of the stadium. Right. That's why I've always kind of liked the Starbond thing. You're at least trying to make it like worth what you're bringing it over for. If you're right about its impact, it'll pay for itself, let alone. And this is the part where lawmakers probably are feeling it. Imagine, Tommy, let's call it $4 billion worth of stadiums. And I think that's a pretty conservative estimate. It's probably more than that. All of those jobs, because if they build this stadium in Kansas, there better not be any company that does not reside in Kansas involved, you know, for the most part, right? There's, I'm sure there are some companies that have to be involved in the planning stages and whatever that have been vetted by the NFL and all that stuff. But for the most part, like the construction jobs, all of it, that better be Kansas people doing those jobs. And the lawmakers, I mean, they've been very smart about this. I don't think they'd be that dumb to not command and demand that these things be a part of it. That's the other part that I think some of the lawmakers in Missouri are really just like, ugh, because that's a lot of, you know, a lot of that money to build it that you're funding is immediately reinvested if you're using Kansas work to do it, right? All those companies, all those workers, all of that stuff, all those seasonal jobs, all the money that the players make now, if you're residing on the Kansas side, becomes state income dollars, like all of that stuff you lose. Could you imagine, just bottom line, Tommy, what the state income tax on an NFL roster salary is, if you have it versus you don't have it? We're talking millions of dollars.
Well, and not just the players on the roster, but the entire organization, all of their salaries. And I mean, you're talking quite a bit of money that goes back potentially into the state coffers at that point for income tax purposes. I look at this also from a big picture perspective across the entire state of Missouri, because I know that part of this package that was passed by the House that failed in the Senate in Missouri, it didn't just include the Chiefs and the Royals. It also included a provision if the Cardinals ever want to renovate Busch Stadium and need help there, it would apply to a future NBA team or NHL team that may look at relocating to the state of Missouri. And so this has larger ramifications for professional sports in the state of Missouri than just the Chiefs and the Royals. And I know that we look at it through the lens of them coming across the state line into Kansas and, you know, immediately becoming the biggest export and the biggest draw to the state of Kansas for sure. But also at a larger scale, this could really significantly impact a team like the Cardinals or the future prospects of other teams. Because, I mean, like, there have been, for a long time now, there's been chatter about Kansas City needing to get an NBA team or potentially having an NHL team relocate or an expansion team or that. I think that, like, if Missouri can't get it figured out and it looks like they're not going to be able to, I think that really throws cold water on any sort of possibility that anything else happens down the line. And then I start looking at the Cardinals, like, what do they want to do long term? And I think it's unlikely that they'll ever move from St. Louis, because the history is long and rich and all of that. But you never know. I mean, they're right on the border, too. Could they move to the Illinois side? You know what I mean?
They redid Bush not too long ago.
I'm just saying, like, I think the ramifications for this extend larger than just the Royals and the Chiefs. Like, this could...
They've already lost the Rams.
They already did, right? Yeah. Like, they've been there before, and this has a real likelihood of happening again.
And that's why the star bond is an interesting mechanism, right? Like, it's you're trying to find a different way that's not just saying, hey, taxpayers, here's more taxes, because nobody can afford more taxes right now. Devalues our dollar. Our dollar's already being devalued through inflation and all the other things. Property taxes, which is your largest voter base, is already getting gouged through property taxes. So Rick asks a good question. What Kansas company has ever built a football or baseball stadium of these magnitudes? Rick, I've only been here a decade. I just looked, though. It sounds like Turner Construction Company, which has branches in Kansas, built the Kansas Motor Speedway. So without getting into like the nitty gritty and having about 13 seconds to research that real quick. So take that with a grain of salt. That looks like the construction management company. And yes, they have offices on a quick Google search in the state of Kansas. So there's that. There are going to be pieces of it, certainly, that happen from other places. And there's going to be responsibility, certainly, to get it done for less money. So those are all negotiations. And sometimes you have to take the best deal. As somebody who's built a couple of businesses, I get that, I promise. But all the jobs to, you know, hammer in the nails, those are not going to be out-of-state jobs. Those will be in-state jobs for the most part. Maybe there's a couple that come across the Missouri border. I don't know. But for the most part, they're Kansas jobs. And when people work at the stadium, they're Kansas jobs because, you know, the taxes that come out of those checks and all that, that becomes Kansas work. So it's, you know, it's not going to be 100%, but it's going to be a lot. And it needs to be at the forefront of every conversation in the planning stages by lawmakers to ensure that at every possible turn, they're using Kansas work. You've got to justify the cost and just see if these things will pay for it. You know, with the Royals, you get 81 games with a sales tax and they continue to be good. I mean, chances are good. You're obviously the Chiefs, Arrowhead, or whatever the new version of it is, would be multi-use. So it's not just like football and the Super Bowls. Now you're talking about all the concerts that come through Arrowhead. Like, all of that stuff plays in a football stadium, less so certainly in a baseball stadium, but they also get 81 home games. So it's, and you can use it for all kinds of things, right? You can use it for state tournaments. You can use it for whatever you want. I don't know what Missouri's going to do here. Like, they just don't have the universal appetite for it. And Kansas's offer's on the table and it's going to expire. And if you're the Chiefs and the Royals, your deal expires in 2030. That means you've got less than 5 years to get state-of-the-art stadiums built. Like, they've got to make a decision. Tommy, I think we'll have a decision on this before the end of this summer.
You know, I think that's going to be interesting because I don't know when a potential special session could happen in the state of Missouri. And I also don't know what kind of patience these two teams have in waiting around, you know, because like if this takes a while, I mean, they couldn't get it done now. And it could be later in the year, probably will be later in the year when this special session could potentially be called by the governor, the new governor of Missouri. What I find really interesting, and, you know, I don't really get into politics a whole lot, but I find it interesting that you've got this new governor in Missouri who is a Republican. And this was a priority for him to try to get this done. And I understand why, like trying to make his mark, trying to be kind of the savior of these two teams in the state and all of that. But he's a Republican and he's been kind of championing this. And then you've got a lot of Republicans in the Missouri Senate that are not fans of it at all. And they're going against their party at the top with the governor, and a lot of Democrats in the Missouri Senate that are wanting to push this through. So you've got kind of a bipartisan situation here with the Republican governor and Democratic legislators that are, you know, kind of, I would imagine, most of the time at odds with each other. They're on the same page with this. But then you've got other Republicans that are throwing cold water on this and saying the taxpayers don't want this. We've got to try to find property tax relief. We've got to do all these different things. That's the priority, not funding the stadium. So it's just kind of interesting the way the parties play out in all of this. But I do agree with you. I think the clock is ticking, and eventually I would imagine the Royals and the Chiefs, in their mind, whether or not they would ever come out publicly and say this, they're going to give, I think, Missouri every shot they to will. Try to keep them and try to be as patient as they possibly can. But eventually they've got to make a call here. And Kansas is like, guys, we're over here waiting, and we want to get this done now. Like, why do you keep giving them third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances to get this done when clearly there's not much of a path to make it happen?
Yeah. The key is the star bond. Put yourself in a voter's shoes. Would you ever want to fund it? Right.
Especially
if you don't live right there. No, I don't think I would either. It's like, but the star bond makes it a totally different situation. It's risky, right? There is risk involved, but it's not the same risk as just writing a check as a taxpayer. What if you're not a Chiefs or a Royals fan? Like, heaven forbid, not everybody. We don't like to think about that here on Sports Daily, but not everybody's a sports fan, Tommy. Some people don't give a rip. You're asking them to pay for it? Like, why is that their responsibility? So that's why I like the star bond. The people that use it will, in theory, and essentially and hopefully in full, pay for it. And that's the right way to do it. I think it's really smart, and I think it's a great offer for the Chiefs and Royals. I agree. I think they want to stay in Missouri, but at some point, like, they got to rip the Band-Aid off because they're running out of time. That lease is up in 5 years. You're telling me you got to build two facilities now of this magnitude? 5 years? That's a quick turn. Better get it done.
Yeah. Time is running out. The clock is ticking.
Missouri's struggling. They're on the struggle bus. They're not getting anything done, and they adjourned yesterday. That's the big news. They ended the annual session. So now I think it will take a special session. And even at that point, what's going to change, right? So we'll see. The Chiefs and the Royals probably will have this morning to respond to that and communicate what they're thinking on the Missouri side and hopefully also on the Kansas side. And then we may get resolution, because I think at some point the star bond offer expires at some point late in the summer too. So everything's on a timeline here that is rapidly, rapidly coming forward. I've told you for the last year and a half, I think they're coming over, at least the Chiefs. And I don't know what's going to happen between now and the decision that would change that. Now they had another chance here and they didn't get it done. All right, Tommy, this one got a little run yesterday. It's a really, really fun story. So it was on Hosmer's podcast, right? I think is where this was talked about. He had on Dayton Moore, of course, the GM of the Royals forever, brought them a World Series championship, took them to two straight World Series. One of my favorite pro sports people to talk to historically, very down to earth, good. He's a Kansas native. He's got a lot of ties to the state of Kansas. We like Dayton Moore. You like Dayton Moore, obviously, for his time with the Braves. But now he's with the Rangers. But he was on with Haas, and I guess they were just kind of chewing the fat a little bit. And there was a scenario apparently in 2013. It sounds like, so right before the Royals took off, right? They took off the next year in 14. They made their magical run. And then, of course, in 15, they win the World Series. Hosmer becomes one of the all-time great Royals. However, Jeff Luhnow, who was the disgraced now GM of the Astros, who was caught up in all the scandals and everything, he apparently called Dayton Moore and said, hey, and just like an old school baseball trade, one for one, offered him Jose Altuve for Eric Hosmer. Now, Hosmer then calls Dayton Moore an idiot, which was really funny because he's like, what are you talking about? Jose Altuve is going to be a Hall of Famer, probably, Tommy. As much as, you know, he bugs me and they're cheaters and all of that stuff, he's really good. and he's been a really good player. And before all that stuff, he was actually one of my favorite players because he's like 5'6" out there just dealing. He's got a 52 career WAR. I'm going to pull up Hosmer here now. It's not going to be 52. Yeah, 19. So, you know, by that metric, about 2.5 times more productive over his career than Hosmer. But I would say this, if you could do it all over again, Dayton Moore made the right decision. Even though he would have brought in the player that's been more productive, I mean, you can't go revisionist on it and say you do the deal, because how can you imagine those Royals teams winning World Series and going to two straight without Eric Hosmer, right? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it all happens for a reason. And Hosmer was a great Royal. He's going to go, like, if there was a Ring of Honor for the Royals, Hosmer would be in it, I think. Did he ever get up to the, you know, the kind of prospect he was probably right before he came up? No, but he was an all-star all the time. He's a great teammate. He was the leader of that team. He was the heart and soul of that team. So it's a really funny story, but I don't think you'd do that any different if you're Dayton Moore.
Yeah, I mean, in the same way that you can't say that Jose Altuve would have improved the likelihood that the Royals win the World Series if he's on that team, in that same breath, you can't say that they wouldn't if Hosmer wasn't there, right? Like, it's a exercise that's impossible to have.
Well, right, so you have to go with what you know.
But at the same time, you're talking about a guy in Altuve that's a 9-time All-Star, AL MVP, multiple-time Silver Slugger, you know, lead the league in stolen bases, and he was a batting champion for a number of years. Like, all these different things. And I'm going to be completely honest. Jose Altuve has always pissed me off. Like, even back before all the scandals with the Astros, he would just annoy me because he's so tiny and you could never get him out. And it seemed like he was always just up there, like, putting the ball in play and always getting on base. And, like, you could never, ever get the guy out. And it just made me so mad all the time. But you know what? Like, I don't think that Dayton Moore would do it any differently. I don't think the Royals would do it any differently. Obviously, the Astros probably wouldn't do it any differently. But it's certainly a fun, like, what if? Like, what if Jose Altuve had played for the Royals? I think the big thing would be, if they had made that trade, would the Royals have been relevant longer? Would they have had more success in 2016, maybe into 2017? I mean, Altuve is still producing at a pretty high level in 2025. So could he have kept the Royals relevant during that stretch of baseball when they were really, really bad and the team kind of started to break apart and you saw Haas go away and Moustakas go away and Alex Gordon retire? I think that's a more fun and interesting exercise than what the World Series would have looked like without Hosmer there. Could Altuve have kept the Royals relevant for longer?
Maybe. I will tell you this, though, because those were some of my favorite years as sort of a field reporter. I was on the road all the time. I was with that team a lot over those 2 years, a lot, basically the entire postseasons and quite a bit. And I can tell you that what they had in the locker room 100% contributed to them winning a World Series. When you talk, like, it was such a perfect fit. Ned Yost, who was not the most analytical manager and, like, was under fire, he and Dayton Moore before 2014. But when you talk about from Moore to Yost to the identity and attitude of that clubhouse, it was a perfect fit. Like, and so to not have Haas in there, I don't care, like, it would not have been a perfect fit because he was in a lot of ways one of the ringleaders of that. It was he, Moustakas, it was Salvi, a very young Salvi at that point. It was Lorenzo Cain and a handful of others. But, like, those, like, I don't think that those teams were, like, talented enough. Like, a part of the reason they won World Series is because it was a perfect locker room. Like, everything, all the pieces just fit together and it happened perfectly. And so I don't know, man. I think it is okay to say you take Hosmer out of the mix. They're probably not doing what they're doing because there was that component to that team. And that not only does that matter in baseball, but man, it really was a big deal for them. I remember in 14 when they didn't make a move. It's right when I moved here probably 2 months before the trade deadline. And I, as an outside observer, I actually liked all the, I was like, they shouldn't make a move. They have all these young ascending players. Like, these are really good prospects and players that are kind of hitting their stride. And everybody here was, of course, so fatigued by all the bad years. They're like, but they're in contention. Like, they got to do something. And I'm like, I don't know. I think they're good enough. But you'd go and you'd talk to them. And the fact that they didn't and they stuck it out with them, especially with a guy like Moustakas, Dayton Moore, stick it, like, and that meant something to them. Like, they really valued that as a group collectively. And so it was one of the, I love looking back at it and hearing a story like that, because that's the kind of GM Dayton Moore was, right? Like, Dayton Moore was very, 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 very loyal to those guys. A part of the reason that they did struggle afterward is because he tried to let them extend the window a year or two.
Like, and again, like, that's where I think the kind of the fun alternate exercise is like, would they have been relevant longer if it had been Altuve as opposed to Hosmer? Because, I mean, think about another alternate timeline here. Whit Merrifield came up with the Royals in 2016 playing second base. Jose Altuve was a second baseman. And so in an alternate timeline, you've got Whit Merrifield blocked. And, you know, Merrifield and Whit Merrifield and Salvi during the really, really lean years, they were the best players on those bad Royals teams, the best offensive players. So now you've got Whit Merrifield blocked at second base. And he's a utility guy. He could have played other positions. But it's kind of fun to think about, like, okay, had Altuve been on that team in 2017, 2018, 2019, would they have still called up Whit Merrifield? Would he have had the career that he's had? Would he have played another position? Would they have traded him away and got something in return? Like, that's kind of fun to think about, too, because I would imagine, in knowing how durable and how the longevity of Jose Altuve and how long he's played, I think that it's pretty clear that he would have been a key cog in the Royals roster, on the Royals roster and lineup for a long time. That's more fun to think about what that would have looked like.
Yeah, I'm looking at those years specifically for Altuve, because in 13, he had not taken off yet, right? In 13, it was 2014 where he took off and became basically an all-star every year and won an MVP and all of those things. So he had not blossomed yet either. Merrifield, if you go to those years, which would have been about like 16 through 19 that we're probably realistically talking about here, Altuve was great, right? And Merrifield was probably the second best second baseman in the American League. Like, that's how, I mean, Merrifield was, I'm just, you know, you look at the war and all that stuff, and he was an all-star a couple of times. Like, Altuve was the best second baseman. Merrifield was probably the second best second baseman in the American League. So, yeah, there's that component. It's all fascinating to hear that stuff and to hear that trade was even proposed, because in 2013, at that point, 2013, and look, if you go back and you look at what Hosmer did in 2013 versus what Jose Altuve did in 2013 when that trade was proposed, that's probably why Dayton Moore just hung up the phone and was like, get out of here with that. You want me to take this little 5-6 whatever and Hosmer that year was awesome. He won a gold glove. He hit over 300 that year. Like, he had, his power was developing. Like, he was looking at that point like, yeah, this dude's going to be really, really good. No, you're hanging up the phone when they're like, what about this little 5-6 guy? He hadn't done, you know, he's going to be good someday. And you're like, yeah, okay. Bat's bigger than he is. Yeah, I get it. It's real clear why Dayton Moore said no, but it's just funny now. And that's, I think that was the point of it yesterday, was to just look back at what might have been. And I love that Hosmer gave him a hard time about it too, because Altuve's won an MVP. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best second basemen we've ever seen, and they had a chance at him in a one-for-one deal. I love that story. I loved hearing that story. How many of those stories, by the way, are there? And how much like our fantasy sports leagues are these pro teams and their general managers? Like, how often are they texting their buddies, just talking trash, like texting another GM, like, you don't want that guy. That guy's a bum. Like, yeah, we'll take him. And then I think that probably happens quite a bit.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure that there are so many conversations that happen behind the scenes that we obviously never know about. They never get off the ground. Can you imagine some of the potential blockbusters that have just been like casually discussed over a scotch, right? Or like over texting or whatever. Like, there are probably some ones that would change like the landscape of our favorite sports and our favorite teams.
Funny trash talking gifs back and forth. If there was, like, if you could cherry pick a job, like, that you would do, for me, it's always been like a pro sports like a decision making pro sports executive. Like, always, that would be the one where, like, oh, that would be the most fun job ever. I don't know if it's that for you, but I think it is for a lot of people. And it's this kind of stuff. Like, you're just having your morning coffee and someone's like, all right, Altuve for Hosmer.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, 10 years or 12 years later, you go on one of the guys' podcasts and you just casually drop that story. No big deal. Man. Almost traded you for a future Hall of Famer in Jose Altuve.
I got so much appreciation for Dayton Moore and those years and what that team was and how perfect a storm it was. That's a great story. All right, we'll come back. More Sports Daily. We got another hour. Jalen Thompson joins us in the next hour. Speaking of the Royals, he's a Royals insider. He'll tell us about what they can do to get things going in the right direction here for the big rivalry weekend series with the Cardinals. We're coming right back.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester for another hour here. Jalen Thompson coming up in just a little bit. To talk about this year's Royals. We had fun with a former trade that wasn't. You can always listen to the program, anything we talk about on the Odyssey app. You can leave us voice messages there, too. Just hit the little microphone. The Stanley Cup hockey playoffs are in full swing. Max, our Jets are hanging in there, right? They get a win last night. The Carolina Hurricanes advance.
They played like the Jets last night.
Hey, listen, do we have a chance here still at our bet? I know they're both down in the series.
Toronto is letting me down. They're going to break that team up if they lose a series.
All right.
Austin Matthews to the Bruins for David Pastrnak.
We'll just be slumming it with the 15-year-old driver a little longer. No big deal. No big deal.
Hey, can I provide a little bit? I'm sorry to, you know, get away from your hockey talk for a second. I hate to switch gears. But there is a little bit of news with the stadium. The stadium deal.
Okay. This morning?
This morning, just in the last few minutes. So local radio in Kansas City, KCMO, had the House Speaker for the state of Kansas, Dan Hawkins. And he said that the state of Kansas expects to have a deal with the Chiefs and the Royals before June 30th. Now, that's the deadline of the star bonds. And so he basically said on this on local radio in Kansas City that he does not expect the state of Kansas to extend the star bond offer, and that he expects that the Royals and the Chiefs both will have a deal with the state of Kansas before it expires on June 30th.
Yeah, I agree. Look,
that was within the last 20 minutes. Yeah, that was within the last 20 minutes.
So that's been the deadline. Shout out to Sean Logging, who is now in the Missouri side. He went on to St. Louis. He left us. That's just too bad. He's been our political insider, former 12 News reporter. He's been talking about that deadline for a while. Like, June 30th is that there is an expiration on the star bond offer. So it's not like this offer that extends for all time, nor should it be, because you're negotiating with that offer, right? Like, if you're the state of Kansas now and you're observing this, which is probably why Dan Hawkins is comfortable getting on the radio talking about it, like, you've got some power here now. So if you want to make demands in that negotiation to say, great, now we're making sure that, you know, this project gets done and is led up by some Kansas workers, and we want these jobs to be Kansas jobs. Now's the time to do it, because the state of Missouri is not going to be able to get anything done. Like, as much as I think that the Royals and Chiefs might want to stay in Missouri, they're not going to stay there if they don't have any deal done. Would they be willing to make some concessions? Maybe, but they're not going to do it without something. And right now, Missouri doesn't have anything. Like, what they were trying to get accomplished through 50% or whatever, that was a last-minute Hail Mary effort that didn't do anything. So right now, they don't have anything to offer. So if you're the state of Kansas, now is not the time to be like, oh, please, please, please. No, now's the time right. to be like, listen.
Hey, we're here. We're waiting for you.
We'll June 30th.
We'll extend that deadline as long as we need to. You know where to find us. We're like, that's not going to be, that's not the the strategy. And so I definitely get why the House Speaker for the state of Kansas is going on local radio today of all days and being like, hey, like we expect to get something done now. And especially considering that Missouri was unable to pass their Hail Mary attempt and all of that. You know, like it's desperation mode for sure for the state of Missouri and Kansas. And all along, they've been in a position of power, a position of strength in these negotiations. They can sit back now and they can, you know, not sit back and wait, but basically, you know, sit back knowing that they hold all the cards.
Yeah. And look, this is not the time to be nice. This is the time to, you got until June 30th. Clock's ticking. We're not just your second option here. Like our offer stands. It's not getting any better. It's there. Take it or leave it. And what's the best case scenario in all of this? In reality, what is the absolute best case scenario? The best case scenario, in my opinion, is that the Chiefs and Royals build their own damn stadiums. So like, you know, and pay for it themselves. That's the best case scenario. Even better, as much as I would love to see them come over to the Kansas side because they could be good for the state and all these things. And even better scenarios, these teams just build their own stadiums and pay for it.
Right. And I have no inside information on this at all, but in the back of my mind, I've been thinking all along, I'm like, what if at the end of the day, the Royals and the Chiefs just decide that they're going to extend their lease at the Truman Sports Complex? They're like, look, we weren't able to get anything done, you know, and we don't really want
to. Because they don't have any money to do it. Like the that's what got voted down.
Well, no, to build new stadiums and to renovate but to just like be like, you know, we're going to re-up for another 5 years and we'll kick the can down the road. We'll revisit this in 2035 or whatever, you know, as opposed to like, and I don't think that's realistic because at least the Royals have made it very clear. They have no desire to stay there whatsoever. But in the back of my mind, I've had this lingering, like, what if they just decide, hey, this has been a waste of time. We can't get anything done. We don't have the appetite as much as we maybe publicly said we did to move across state lines or whatever. We'll just re-up where we're at. And I think that's unlikely.
Yeah, I don't think they can just re-up because that has to be voted on because it would be an extension of the tax that's there.
Even if things just stayed status quo?
I don't think they're like paying rent that way. Because taxpayers there are paying the taxes currently. Like from the way I understand it, like the extension that they were looking for that would have gone longer, obviously, to raise the money to build it. That's what got voted down. I don't think they would have a home in that scenario, which brings up the worst case scenario. So if the best case scenario is they just do it themselves and pay for it, the worst case scenario is they leave. They leave the region, which that's where – you know, I say if you're the state of Kansas, you don't need to make concessions now, but you don't want to play like hardball because then what if, you know, what if Nashville is like, hey, Royals, you want to be the Nashville Royals or whatever, right?
The Montreal Royals, which, you know, that's what they were
at one point. St. Louis is like, man, we have really missed having a football team. Hey, Chiefs, we'll build you a new stadium. So that's the worst case scenario. Nobody can imagine that, but it happens. Why are the A's leaving Vegas? I mean, leaving Oakland because they couldn't get a stadium deal done. So why did the Rams leave St. Louis? Maybe a better comparison. That's the danger in all of this and why you don't want to overplay it. It's honestly why it's interesting and kind of like, how has Missouri not been able to figure this out as a state? And that's where if you're the state of Kansas, you do still want to have your arms open as wide as they can be. But you also have to observe what's happening across the border. Kansas is in the best position right now. I don't think there's another place in the country that is going to be able to offer what Kansas is currently offering. And if you're the Chiefs and the Royals, you have your established fan bases. You lose none of that by going across the street to the Kansas side. It's the best option. It's always been the best option. It has been setting up for this since sports betting was legalized quickly in the state of Kansas. These dominoes started falling a long, long time ago. And if you just step back and think about this stuff logically, you can see it coming.
We were like talking about the Royals. We were talking about the Royals leaving Kauffman Stadium 2 years ago. I mean, at a point when this team was really, really, really bad. I remember us having conversations like, "This is the terrible time to be talking about a brand new stadium in Power and Light or wherever, you know, the Royal Clay County, wherever the Royals were looking at doing that at that time, because the play on the field was so bad." And I remember being like, focus on the product first, because nobody has an appetite to pay for a new stadium for you guys when you're 40 games under 500 or whatever the situation was at that point in 2023. And then they started to catch fire at the end of 2023. Of course, we all know what happened last year. Now it seems like a much more reasonable ask to have a new ballpark wherever it is, you know, just considering that you've got a star now locked in for a long time in Bobby Witt Jr. And definitely relevance, you know, moving forward.
You got 70% of it just sitting on the table for you if you're these teams. Welcome to Kansas. I mean, I've said better than 50% for the last year. I'd say that's creeping up probably now to 60, 70%. Again, this is just us pining here on the radio, but I don't know what it is that would keep them from it now, other than just an insane desire to stay over there. So if that's the case, that eliminates your worst case scenario. You know what I mean? Like, if they just want to be over there so bad that they would turn this down, that means they're not going to go somewhere else, because why wouldn't they just come over to Kansas where they have this amazing deal? Hawkins getting on the radio talking is interesting. You know, these conversations are happening with Clark Hunt and John Sherman and all parties involved. So we'll just keep watching it. We'll keep our eye on it. Maybe Jalen Thompson can give us a little more insight into the legislative processes of the Missouri state government. Maybe not. He's a baseball guy like we are, but at least he lives over there. So we'll ask him a little later. But we have that Royals segment coming up for you later in the hour. Other fun stuff to get to. We got to talk a little more about the Chiefs schedule, some other things happening in the sports world. We'll get Tommy to update us on anything happening in the PGA Championship as it pertains to star power or our local golfers. We have all of that coming for you. On the way out here, let's do a call-in contest here, Max, real quick. You can call in right now to 869-1240 to win tickets to the Gone Fishing Tour at the Cotillion Thursday, May 22nd. Featuring Kingfish and Samantha Fish. First caller right now, 869-1240. Good luck, everybody. We'll be back on the other side.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. We had some Gone Fishing Tour tickets go out the door on the way out of the last segment. On the way into this one, let's give away our Static X tickets at the Cotillion. This will be May 26th. You can text in to win a pair of tickets. The letter is X to the short code 20357. X to 20357 to win a pair of tickets. This is your last chance, by the way. The contest ends today. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once a day, which means you can enter one more time. All right. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Tommy, the schedules are out. I've been trying to catch up on some of the videos. They're good. Like they're very funny. They're good. There's a lot of really good ones. I don't know what my favorite one is right now. It's probably the Bills AI one. I don't know how many of these you've seen. Basically, they call Josh Allen. They say, what do you do? And he says, why don't you just use AI? And, of course, they get Allen Iverson, and he acts confused to be there. And it was great to see Allen Iverson. It was really funny.
I have watched zero of them still to this point. We talked about it yesterday. It's not that I don't care about the schedule. I definitely do. I just don't have the time to sit down and watch these long videos. I'm sure that they're great and well done and funny and whatever. I just don't have time to do it.
So Rachel Hallam, friend of the program, yesterday I went in and I was like, all right, which ones do I need to watch? Because I'm not going to watch them all. I never do. And so she put me on the Chargers, which was like by Minecraft. And the Chargers are probably the best at this. They always throw the best shade. And then the Titans made fun of a pharmaceutical company commercial, which was fantastic. And then I watched the Bills one. And I think that's all of them that I saw. But they were all three really good, great recommendations. But the funny thing is like, these are clear, like now people are bringing in like actors and like, they put a lot of time and effort into this, which is why it was so funny that they pulled the Colts video because somebody, I don't know why they did that. That's so weird. Good for Tyreek Hill for sticking up for the creatives that made that. Speaking of the schedule though, the Chiefs, we talked about it yesterday. We'll talk about it a little bit more today, a little more time to digest it. Of course, Tommy, as far as the over under being at 11.5, I've thought about it. Like I'm going over that. What is the win loss record? I think 12-5. If that's what gets you to that over with the difficulty of the schedule they play, four losses more basically than a year ago. That's probably the cap. You know, like they were very fortunate last year. We've talked about it to get through the real season before the throwaway game with one loss. I think four more losses would be a reasonable outcome. 12-5. I don't think they'll be challenged quite yet for somebody else to win the division. They'll be challenged in those divisional games, but I don't know that the Chargers, the Broncos are going to be ready to win 13 games this year. So I think 12-5 will be good enough to get them where they need to be.
Yeah, I'm going to hammer the over right now at 11.5. I mean, I think that, you know, even a three-game decline is probably more likely than a four-game even. Like, I'm looking at, potentially a 13-4 type regular season final record for the Chiefs. I was going game by game yesterday, and I was like, okay, if this is a disaster of a season, like if things completely fall apart, what's the worst-case scenario record-wise for the Chiefs based on their schedule, based on their opponents. And I got it to like 8 and 9, which I think is completely unlikely. Like, I don't think that that's going to ever happen. But that would be, in my mind, the absolute worst-case scenario. 8 and 9, maybe 9 and 8, somewhere around there, if things just completely fall off a cliff for the Chiefs. So knowing that, in my mind, that's the absolute worst case, unlikely scenario, it makes it that much easier for me to hammer the over.
Yeah, I mean, look, every game, and I haven't gone through this, we talked about it yesterday, there are four where you're like, okay, yeah, there's no chance the opposition's going to win. And of course, there's always a chance, it's the NFL, but while we're looking at these things, I think they'll be favored in every home game. I don't think they're going to be a home dog in any game by any means. I know they're not favored at Buffalo because Buffalo is favored in every game they play this year. Time will tell on the Thanksgiving game against Dallas. You know, by that point, we'll know enough about Dallas. They could potentially be an underdog in that game. They will not be a home dog against Philadelphia. I can't imagine they would be a dog in the Brazil game because it's a neutral. So there's not a lot of opportunities for them to be favored in these games. You know, I suppose at Denver by that point in the season, but again, highly, highly unlikely. The good news for the Chiefs is the Eagles, the Ravens, the Lions, the Commanders, the Texans. A lot of these non-divisional games are home games for the Chiefs, right? Like, they're pretty fortunate for as difficult a schedule as they have to play. They're pretty fortunate in it. They have outside the divisional games, and they don't even have to go to LA to play the Chargers, by the way. They get that neutral field, which is advantageous. They go to Buffalo. They go to Dallas. I mean, that's it. For as difficult as the schedule is, like, those are the only two on the road that you got to deal with. So they're all things considered, Tommy, this is a really, really nice schedule for the Chiefs. We knew who they were going to play. Right. So you can't just look at it as they play all these great teams. We already knew that. Like, we knew they were playing all these great teams. But when you consider that they were the way that this fell, it's pretty hard to draw it up any better than what it looks like. Like, it's about perfect for what they need to do to soften the blow of basically never getting any weeks off from playing a really good team.
It's going to be really important, though, that to start off the season, they come out of the gate swinging. I mean, you go international to kick things off against a Chargers team that I think is on the come up, and they have improved during this offseason, I think, for sure. They're going to be hard to beat.
Hard to beat in the first week.
Well, and especially
the way they're designing their team.
Totally, 100%.
Yeah.
So they've got to do that, and then they've immediately, you know, got to go and do the Super Bowl rematch against the Eagles. So they've got to come out of the gate swinging in the first couple of weeks. They do get a little bit of a breather in week three, but it's not going to be easy for them at all to start off the season. And you know, what's realistic? I mean, I know that obviously expectations are that you go 2-0 in your first two. Is that realistic to expect, though, or is it more like a 1-1 type thing?
I think it's I think it's fine to expect 2-0. I would expect 2-0. The Eagles are a home game. I think playing the Chargers in week one is not great, but getting them not on a true road game is better. The Chargers are going to be built to give the Chiefs problems. And I think them and Denver, and I think there's probably some design to this because they have really smart head coaches who have a lot of control about. They know you. Teams know what you need to do to beat the Chiefs. You need to run the ball, and you need to rush the passer. And both of those teams have built themselves to do that. Denver just took a rookie early, R.J. Harvey. I love it. It's one of my favorite picks of the draft for any team, quite frankly. And they were one of the best pass rushing teams of football last year, right? The Chargers are telling you as much as they can tell you, they are going to run the ball, right? It's Jim Harbaugh. Of course they're going to run the ball. Well, they took an early running back too. These teams are designing themselves to beat the Chiefs. So the Chargers in the opener, I think that's like, for, you know, as teams sort of come out of the gates a little bit slower offensively, the Chargers probably won't, because they're just going to turn around and run it a ton this year. I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're telling you they're going to do that. And then you've got the Eagles, of course, in that second game of the year. They'll have an extra day of rest. They won't have international travel to deal with, but they do have to come to Arrowhead. the Chiefs, I think that the Chiefs will be favored in that game. I think. I mean, we can look right now, actually. Let me pull it up because those lines are probably out. But in even with that, like, not even talking about only, you know, what Vegas thinks, like, there's no way you can have a week two game, even as the defending champs, where you're going to say the Chiefs are home dogs. And I don't see the lines just right off the top here. I know I could find them somewhere. They're not going to be home dogs. There's no way. They'll be expected to win that game. So yeah, 2-0, I think it's fine. Now, if they don't go 2-0, am I terribly concerned? No. If they go 0-2, am I terribly concerned? Not really. So, you know, I guess any outcome is fine. Like, I'm not over. Now, would I be worried about them getting to 12 wins if they go 0-2 at that point? Yeah, probably a little bit. But again, remember 2 years ago when they won a Super Bowl? We care too much about home field when it comes to the Chiefs. I don't care about home field in the playoffs that much when it comes to the Chiefs. I care that they're healthy. I don't really care where they play the games. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to be at Arrowhead to win.
I care about one fewer game you have to play to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. I care about getting a bye. And I know with the bye comes home field advantage, but for me, it's less about the home field and more about the fact that that's one fewer game where you're risking injury, one fewer game where you're risking fluky calls here and there, or certain things happening where you could lose a game, yeah, you know, easily. So that, for me, that's always been the top priority. It's less about playing at Arrowhead. That's great. And I love the home field advantage, but it's less about that for me and more about that's one fewer game to actually get to the ultimate goal.
I there's merit in that because they're an older team, but I don't think it alters we're not going to get to the point where it's going to really alter my thought that, we're not making these proclamations on May 16th, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to put them back in the Super Bowl this year. I don't think if they're playing a wild card game or whatever, or that's not going to change that for me. Most likely are they healthy? Because they've shown us they can go on the road. They've shown us they can play in that wild card game. For a lot of teams, I think that stuff is wildly critical and important. I don't think it is as important for the Chiefs. And so, yeah, if they go 0-2 to start the year, meh. It'll be like, and I think it won't, I think for most people, they'll be more in line with where I was a couple years ago, where I'm like, yeah, I'm not terribly worried. The defense is playing great. Kelce and Mahomes are there. They'll figure it out. That's going to exist for me most likely all year always with them. I thought the concern we had last year was far more concerning than 2 years ago when they just weren't playing very well. Because last year with the issue at left tackle, you're like, I don't know what they're going to do to fix this. Like, and we know historically in this league in the postseason, that is a fatal flaw. In an individual game, when your quarterback's under duress, that is a fatal flaw. We've made a lot of jokes about Eli Manning this week. So Eli Manning won a couple Super Bowls, right? He had this great pass rush that was able to disrupt Brady. So like that was the big concern. So as long as left tackle is better and they're just kind of slogging their way through, injury aside, there's not gonna be anything that throws me off of them being the favorite, at least in the AFC. Are the Bills the favorite right now? We can pull that up real quick. And then we got to tell you about the Friday fit here in a second too. But just real quick, let's look at the futures. Now that the draft, I haven't looked since the draft has been over. The Chiefs are not the favorite in the AFC. They are slightly, ever so slightly behind the Ravens, who don't get enough talk around them. The Bills and the Chiefs are both at 7.5-1. The Ravens are at 7-1. The Eagles are still a slight favorite at 6.5-1. You know what's wild about this? And I'd have to go back and look at the history on this. That feels, Tommy, like the longest odds for a favorite that I can remember. 6.5-1 is the best odds. Like is the shortest odds to win a Super Bowl. What it tells me, and the Lions are 9-1, by the way. And after those five teams, everybody else is way behind them. The Bengals are the next closest, and the 49ers and the Commanders all at 18-1, by the way. Just crazy. But it tells me that there's not a lot of difference in those top five teams. There is no clear favorite this year. And I agree with it, too. I think all those teams are awesome and could win a Super Bowl.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think it shows that you've got the cream rising to the top in those five teams for sure. And then from there, I mean, there are some teams with longer odds that I think would be worth a flyer. I think the Commanders,
for sure,
are worth a flyer for sure. You know, that there are probably a couple of others that I'm missing right now that I wouldn't mind throwing a couple of bucks on.
I mean, I think you could justify a Commander's bet. Absolutely. I think you could justify a Rams bet at 20-1. I think you could justify a Vikings bet at 35-1. I think you could probably justify a Texans bet if they're healthier this year at 35-1. The Niners, the Niners, you probably always have to keep in the mix at 18-1. It's interesting to me that the Bengals are at 18-1 because I don't know how much better defensively they got. And their star defender is in a massive contract dispute right now. That's a bet on Burrow. I mean, is all that probably is. Where are the Cowboys? The Cowboys are down. Tommy, 55-1? 55-1 when Dak's coming back healthy and a new coach that's not Mike McCarthy anymore blowing in the playoffs?
To win a Super Bowl? I'm 55? Not.
55? Yeah. They're down there in odds with the
You're better off wadding
you tell
up,
me.
You're better up better off wadding up your dollar bills and throwing them in the
trash
can.
I get it. I know. I understand that. But tell me, like, here are teams with better odds right now. The Steelers, the Dolphins, the Broncos. I like what they're doing, but the Broncos I don't think are a better team than Dallas with a healthy Dak Prescott. That's pretty wild. The Bears are at 35-1? Over the Cowboys? That's surprising to me.
Hey, you're welcome to put your bet in at 55-1.
Put a dollar on.
Yeah, I would rather light my money on fire than.
Well, I'm just
that the
like,
Cowboys
doing
win,
the
they're not going to win a Super Bowl.
Like, favorite. If we're doing the exercise of who are our favorite long odds bets, like long odds, right? You got to be long odds. That to me is for sure
yeah,
the
you
one.
Know,
that
you know why they're 55-1. Because they're not winning the Super Bowl. That's why they're 55-1.
We're talking about long odds bets here. Like
you're right, it's obviously a long odds bet. Right.
But what I'm saying is, like, of all of those teams,
I wouldn't bet them at 100 to 1.
Let me say it this way. I wouldn't give Dallas a 0% chance with a healthy Dak. The last time he was healthy, he was second in MVP voting. And I'm not a Dak guy, and you know how I feel about the Cowboys, but I'm not giving him a 0% chance. They had a good draft. They get a little healthier. They just traded for George Pickens. Like, that's not a 0% chance.
Okay.
It might be a 5% or a 3%, but it's not a 0.5%
chance.
Yeah, but when we're talking about them being down there with the Patriots are a 0% chance. That's a 0% chance. I can't believe they're that long. I cannot believe they're that long. That's crazy. I've never seen them that long, even when they suck. Of course, we weren't paying attention. All right, Tommy, tell us about the Friday Fit.
Yeah, our friends over at 3570 Golf Co., they are ramping up for golf season, and we're rocking, at least I'm rocking, some of their apparel. You can go online, 35x70golfco.com, check out their entire selection of shirts and hoodies and head covers and hats. One really cool thing about 3570 Golf Co. is that they're going to be a part of the Wichita Open this year. I know they've partnered with the Wichita Open, and you can find them, I know, at some of the golf courses and country clubs around Wichita, too, if you want to pick up some of their apparel. So again, go online, 35x70golfco.com. Find out more about all the great golf gear that is designed for folks right here in the heartland. Use the promo code Tommy. Get 10% off your first order.
All right. We've got like one more minute. I have to, at some point, we have to have a discussion. You make fun of my style a lot. I got to know about the top button being buttoned thing. I've never been team top button.
I only do it if I'm wearing a quarter zip over top of my shirt. Like if I'm just wearing this shirt, I'm not going to button the top button.
If you lose the quarter zip,
unbutton the top button. That's usually what I do.
Sometimes I lose the top two buttons.
And you know why I do that? It's actually more about function than it is about looks, because if I unbutton it and I've got a quarter zip, it'll fall underneath my quarter zip. And then you can't see my shirt at all.
Yep. I understand that for sure. We can have that. We don't have time, unfortunately, for everybody out there that needs style advice. We'll discuss that another day.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
The dramatic pauses. So can you guys hear those on the radio when I step over the top of that? Okay, so just on the video stream.
You just look like an idiot when you're talking on the video stream.
My apologies. On the radio, nobody knows what just happened, which is I stepped over the intro bump there for Jalen and all our insiders.
You know, we do these interviews about every day, and we play that intro about every day.
There's this dramatic – so from what I hear, like we come back, and then there's like a pretty long pause. So I'm like, yeah, okay, we're going to go. And then it always – I'm just like, dang it. I need my internal timer to be about 1 second longer. Story of my life. But
I'm not going to go there.
All right, here we go. Let's talk baseball before we go down a road we can't come back from. Jalen Thompson's here, our Royals insider. KC Star follows the Royals every day. Jalen, this is cool. I didn't even realize baseball was doing this. I mean, I knew what was happening on the schedule. It's rivalry weekend. So all these rivalries are being played. A great one between the Royals and the Cardinals. Bad news for the Royals probably is the Cardinals are one of the hottest teams in baseball. We look back to this Astros series. It's really hard to have the discussions because by and large, the Royals have played well. They dropped 2 of 3. The offense cannot find any consistency. That Astros series was a disaster in the middle of the lineup. Vinny and Salvi were 3 for 25 collectively with no extra base hits. What can change internally here? Is there any appetite at all for Quatraro to do something with the lineup and stick with it for a little bit? Like we've seen him toy with moving Vinny down. What about moving Salvi? Is that on the table? Like what is that conversation like right now?
I think a lot of it has to come down to, well, if you move those guys down in the lineup, who are you moving up to take those spots in three?
Anybody right now is being more productive. So that's an easy answer.
Yeah. Yeah, and Matt Cottrell is a player's coach, so he's gonna be able to stick with his guys as they go through different things, you know, streaks and ups and downs. I think for the Royals to be successful, you just have to have them to – you just need them to hit. And you know, eventually they will, I believe. I think that in Vinny's case, it's just a matter of him being able to do it more consistently. At least, like you said, we've seen him bat lower in the lineup against power lefties. He did that against Framber Valdez and things of that nature, and we've seen it work at times. But I think you need him to be that third hitter because you have to protect Bobby Witt Jr. If you take Vinny out of the third spot and you put Mark Cannon there like they did in the Astros series, that's not really protecting Bobby Witt Jr. So then they'll just walk Bobby every time to get to the next hitter on in the lineup. So I think that you really need Vinny to just be more consistent. And you need Salvi. I don't know if the hip is still bothering him, but he hasn't hit a home run in a month, and I think that's something that they have to really address. Maybe you're not going to move him down the line because he's Salvi. He's earned the right to be the fourth hitter. So I don't know what they do. Maybe it's just going to have to be them playing better.
You know, I wonder going a little bit further on this point. I know with Vinny, it's been matchup dependent where he's been in the lineup. But there's a big part of me. I would like to see a little bit of consistency. Like, I don't like the batting third in one game, then he moves down to sixth. And then if there's a lefty, he's going to be lower in the lineup. And then right back, he's in the three hole again. Like, I would like to see him, and if it's lower in the lineup, so be it for a period of time. Put him in a position and let him get some reps there and be consistent in one lineup spot. I know that the question becomes who replaces him in the three hole in that lineup. But I think it's my opinion only is that I think it's almost hindering him a little bit that he can't get into a rhythm because he's kind of bouncing around different spots in the lineup. Do you see that too?
Yeah, to a certain degree, I do see that. And I think that he can put a lot of pressure on himself too to try to produce. I mean, he said it before. If he's going to hit third in the lineup, he has to be able to drive in runs. And you saw it in this Astros series. Bobby hits a triple. He's on third base, 90 feet away from scoring. And Vinny comes up, hits the ball right back to the pitcher. He's out. Then Salvi comes up. He gets out. And then the Royals are left with a runner on third. They don't score. And you've seen a bases loaded situation where Vinny doesn't come through. So those things, you have to come through in those key moments. Because if you did, then you would have probably swept the Astros because you're getting the pitching. you're getting the pitching, and when you have seven innings from Michael Lorenzen, and he goes out for the eighth, and he gives up a couple of runs. I mean, you will take that every single time because he was strong. Your offense has to pick up your pitching some kind of way, and they haven't been doing that. And I know that a lot of fans want the team to be better, but they're five games over 500, so it's hard to really nitpick. But it's clear the offense has to be better, and it has to start with those two guys that you mentioned.
So I don't want to nitpick because I'm a baseball guy, and yes, these things generally work themselves out. I think the problem is our hands being forced on the nitpicking because the Twins have won 11 in a row. They're back in it now. The Tigers and the Guardians don't appear to be going anywhere. I think there are years where, yeah, you could just sort of let it play out, but man, I just don't know if the division's going to let them do that this year. Like, how much can you afford? Like, think back to the stretch we saw in April where the offense was killing them. How many of those can you have in a year where it looks like there are going to be four teams viable for the playoffs in this division?
Yeah, and I think that is the other part of this where you have to see, well, our pitching staff is going to keep us in games. This is the road sticking. They know the pitching staff is going to be there. It's going to keep them in games. You're going to get Hunter Harvey back. Eventually, you're going to get Sam Long is going to potentially come back. You're going to get those relievers that you normally rely on to really strengthen the bullpen even more. And you just have to get your offense to score. And that's hard to say, but maybe they do it this weekend against the Cardinals. But the Cardinals have been a red-hot team themselves. So that series is going to be very important because you got your top guys going, and you need to win this series during rivalry weekend, as the MLB is calling it, because you're going to see San Francisco and Minnesota after this series. And if you have a misstep, that can turn really bad really quickly.
I wonder, as far as the bullpen is concerned, and you talked about Hunter Harvey, you talked about Sam Long, the injuries and all of that. And we've seen a couple of situations, especially recently, like in the Astros series, where you know, it was a little bit shaky for John Schreiber giving up the walk-off. It was a bad outing for Steven Cruz. Are we starting to see a little bit of, some small issues taking shape in the bullpen where they really need these guys to come back?
I don't think that it would be a big deal for, you know, John Schreiber and Steven Cruz, because they both were great. You know, relievers are going to have a misstep here and there. Before John Schreiber gave up the home run, he was pitching really well, had a scoreless streak. Steven Cruz as well. I do think they do need Hunter Harvey back, because when you get Hunter Harvey back, he slides into that seventh inning, high leverage role where you don't always have to depend on John Schreiber to be the one to go out and get the ground ball. You have more velocity with Hunter Harvey that can get a strikeout when you need it. Steven Cruz, he's been good, but this is really his first time that he's really having success in the big leagues. So you need that veteran to bridge that gap. And I think that's what they're really missing in that bullpen, because you go from starter, you have to get to Urseg and Estevez. But that missing piece is usually Hunter Harvey, and he's not there. So, but he's progressing and he's coming along. So maybe he'll be back in the near future.
Let's look ahead to this Cardinals series then. Jalen, a day off helps, right? A day off, a return home, all of those things. That certainly helps the bullpen sort of reset. Mm-hmm. But the Cardinals are one of these. They've won 9 out of 10. They're a team that's getting very hot. They've got a lot of players right now sort of overperforming what we've seen from them. But what do you think it's going to take offensively for the Royals, and how realistic is it in a series like this?
You have Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha going this series, which if you're going into any series, you want those three guys to be at the top of your list. I think that helps the Royals immensely, and they're going to be at home, which they play better at home. I think this series has to be one where we mentioned earlier, this has to be a Vinny Pasquantino or Salvador Perez series. It just has to be. You know, the Cardinals are going to work their way around Bobby Witt Jr., and they're going to try to challenge Vinny and Salvi, because if you get those two, then you have a pretty good chance of winning the game. And The rest of the world's lineup has been great. I would like to see them play maybe Freddie Fermin a little bit more. If Salvi is dealing with hip soreness and you know he can't always go behind the plate, put Freddie back there behind the plate and let Salvi DH. And you know maybe that will help generate Salvi just being off his feet in the field. He can focus only on hitting. Maybe you find a way to incorporate more of a National League style of play where they have done some flashes of where moving the runner over, bunting, you know, doing those things. But you got to generate runs. And if your top two guys aren't doing it outside of Bobby Witt Jr., it can't just be Bobby and Michael every night. It's not going to work that way. So it's got to be someone else to step up. And I think this is the Vinny Pasquantino series. If he plays well this series, then the Royals can take 2 out of 3 and, you know, go on this road trip with a lot of momentum.
All right, Jalen, all the work is at the KC Star. You follow it each and every day. Obligatory final thing. Jack Caglione, how's he looking down there? He's what everybody's talking about in the prospect list.
He's looking as good as advertised. He's leading the Texas League in a lot of categories. He's hitting over 300. I think he was like the real deal. He's going to matriculate the AAA sometime here soon. Don't know when, but I think he's going to go there. And then we'll see what's next when he gets to that next level.
But you're still anticipating like a late season call-up, if any call-up at all?
I do. Because
injuries aside, obviously.
Injuries aside, I just think that you have to give him a chance to experience all three, the next level, all three level of the minor leagues before you bring him up. Because, like I said before, when you bring him up, you don't want to send him back. So right. You got to be sure that he's ready when he's time. But I think it's gonna happen. I really do. I think it's going to happen this year. I don't know when. I always said maybe August, maybe September. We'll see what the season dictates. But I think he has the skills to be coming up for sure.
And let's just hope Vinny and Salvi start hitting and it's not any rush. And then none of this will matter. Jalen Thompson, find all his work at the KC Star. You can follow him on X at Jalen Thompson. Appreciate it, Jalen.
Hey, thank you guys so much. See you guys soon.
We'll talk again next week. Hope everybody's ready to enjoy that. Programming note, you'll see the Sunday game. That'll be on the KSCW 12 News partnership here. KSCW, of course, the sister station of 12 News. The game will be broadcast there. That's very exciting. It's a fun series. I didn't realize it was rivalry week all across baseball. I knew the Rangers were playing the Astros and the Royals were playing the Cardinals. And then I was like, oh, it's rivalry week. That's a smart thing.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, that'll do it for us here on Sports Today. One thing we haven't mentioned yet that I want to mention, Tommy, Wichita State baseball. They got to win this series against Memphis if they want to reach the postseason, if they want to reach the AAC tournament. So we'll keep our eye on that this weekend. You'll hear those games here on KFH. We'll be back Monday to talk about all of it. Thanks to Jalen Thompson for stopping by. If you missed anything, of course, go find it on the Odyssey app. Tommy, enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, appreciate it. Should be a great weekend. Good weather for the most part. Maybe some storms, but it should be
fun.
Yeah,
watch the weather. Watch Storm Team 12. Because Sunday evening and then into Monday, we're going to have some chances for severe weather still just a little bit far out, but we'll get those details. You can find that there. For Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. We'll see you Monday.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.